What's up, prayer watchers? It's Delta, your most humble host for Midnight Prayer Watch. Today's episode is a continuation from last week. So if you haven't listened to part one, I recommend you do so before continuing with this episode. But for those that have been waiting for the conclusion, without further ado, here is part two. Thank you all for joining me. I am Delta, your most humble host for Midnight Prayer Watch, coming back at you for part two of Who is Lying to You? Thank you for rejoining if you were on for part one, or if you're just starting for part two. Again, I encourage you to go back and listen to part one because we was getting it in, y'all. We had prayer going. We got prayed over. We had some connections made in the spirit, I'm just saying. And then we were finishing off by getting into the word, washing ourselves in the word, which is what we always stand by here, Midnight Prayer Watch, is that you've got to get in the word, because in the word, the spirit of the Lord makes things clear for us. And there's revelation there specifically for you to receive. That even though I'm unpacking it right now from what I've received, that when you get into it yourself, it's a living word, that there's application in the things that are happening in your life or the things that you are dealing with as well. So I'm going to continue to move us forward into where we were at. So as I'm continuing in 1 Kings chapter 13, we just went through the whole situation where Jeroboam had his hand shrivel up and the man of God revealed to him the full word of the Lord that gave him the charge to come and prophesy to him. And so now that Jeroboam's hand is shriveled up, he had to fall all the way on the sword and be like, okay, can you ask your God to bring my hand back? And then after that, of course, the man of God does. And then now the man of God reveals that I can't, because Jeroboam is like, he not keeping that same energy that he had when he said, arrest him. He's like, oh, come into my house now, now that my hand is restored, come into my house and eat bread with me and I'll give you a reward or whatever. So the man of God tells him, nah, I ain't doing that because I can't do that. Here's what God told me. I can't go with you. I can't eat bread or drink water with you. And I must not go the same way that I came. And so now going into, we're in 1 Kings chapter 13, starting with verse 11. This is where the meat of our talk is at, is who is lying to you? So now there's an old prophet that hears about what took place with this man of God, and he wants to go see this man of God for himself. It doesn't say why, but he, you know, gets his donkey and his sons help him, and he locates a man of God sitting under a tree. And so he asks him to come home with him. And the man of God tells him, I can't go with you because the Lord told me that I must not eat bread or drink water or go back the way that I came. So then this prophet says, oh, starting in verse 18, I am also a prophet like you. An angel spoke to me by the way of the Lord. Bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. The old prophet deceived him, and the man of God went back with him, ate bread in his house, and drank water. I'm in KJV, just for anybody that wants to follow along with me. And then picking up again in verse 20. While they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And the prophet cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah. This is what the Lord says. Because you rebelled against the command of the Lord and did not keep the commandment that the Lord your God commanded you, but you went back and ate bread and drank water in the place that he said to you, do not eat bread and do not drink water, your corpse will never reach the grave of your fathers. So after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, the old prophet saddled the donkey for the prophet he had brought back. When he left, a lion met him along the way and killed him. I told y'all, Kings and Chronicles is lit. Everybody dying, everybody getting murdered. There's all kinds of stuff happening. So picking up where we left off, a lion met him along the way and killed him. His corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey he was sitting on was standing beside it. The lion was standing beside the corpse too. So a lion and the donkey on the side of the road. Have you ever seen this before? That's like, think about Jurassic Park, like the T-Rex standing next to the Velociraptor. Like just standing there. They not fighting. They not trying to eat each other. Nothing. What? Okay, so let's rewind, because I want to go all the way back to when the prophet met the man of God. Like, what was the old prophet talking about? Why did he have to go meet this man of God so adamantly that he went to look for him and find him? And then when he meets the man of God, like, does anybody else out here feel for the man of God? Is anybody else feeling like, what was the man of God thinking when he, like, reacted to what the prophet said? This is where I'm at, and I'm still chewing on this part. Let's go back to this, like, what in the world? Like, okay, it's a prophet, right? This is how the word characterizes this old man that went to go see the man of God. So it says in other versions that when he met the man of God and he asked him to come home and meet him, or come home with him and eat bread and drink water and all that good stuff, it says that when the man of God told him, no, I can't do that, that the prophet said, oh, an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord that I have to do this, bring you back to the house, eat bread and drink water with you. And in KJV, it says the old prophet deceived him. In other versions, like NKJV, it says in Amplified, he lied to him. What? Wait a second. Let's rewind the tape back. So you're trying to tell me that people out here lying? They lying to us? Where they do that at? Well, apparently they doing that all the way back in the Old Testament, y'all. Oh my goodness. This is where I'm at right now. Is if the Lord has said something to you, it don't matter if a prophet, if your pastor, if your mother, your spouse says something back to you to counteract that, you better go do what the Lord told you to do. And don't ask no questions. Don't tarry. Don't act like, oh, maybe he didn't tell me right. What? Oh my gosh. Because what happened to the man of God? Well, he just, you know, he decided to believe this prophet who he just met, other than the word of the Lord whom he served. And when he went back, what happened? But he got mauled by a lion, y'all. Oh my goodness. Like he done had, think about this. Like he just had a moment where he witnessed a miracle. He witnessed this miracle, and it pretty much came through him with what happened to Jeroboam with his hand. Like, can you imagine how he was like, oh my goodness, like this is the Lord I serve, you know, his hand and shriveled up and everything. And now he goes from that situation all the way, like, I don't even know what the span of time was between that happening and him denying Jeroboam, like, nah, I can't do that with you because I was told to do this, to now this prophet that lied to him and said, oh, but I was told that you need to come back home with me and you can eat bread and drink water with me. And he goes from that and completely just forgetting or completely being deceived by the prophet to do what he tells him to do, and then he's literally mauled by a lion. Literally. So this is where I want us to really like chew on this. Who is lying to you? What did the Lord tell you to do? Like, think about it like this. When you're in a relationship with someone, right? And you've known them for a long time. You've been walking with them. You know their mannerisms. You know what nuances that they have going on. You understand them like very, very well. You know, let's liken it to like a spouse. Or we can even liken it to like a sibling or someone like that, right? Just think about like your closest relationship, your bestie. Okay, you sharing all kinds of things with each other that you never shared with nobody else. Like, think about it like that. Can you imagine that this person that you've known for so well told you something that you're like, okay, I understand that. I get that. And somebody comes behind them that you haven't met but for 2 seconds and says, oh no, you're not supposed to be doing that. Oh, whatever your best friend, your spouse told you, that ain't right. That is not right. You know that ain't right. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. What? And you follow that person? Oh my goodness. Am I making this real for y'all? Let me see if I can break it down even more. Let's say that you were told by the Lord to go move to a different country. He made it very, very plain to you. He's told you already. You need to leave where you're at. You've seen the signs. You've been feeling like there's no growth here. You've been feeling very like just everything is stalled, like nothing has changed. And let's say the Lord is telling you, you need to move. This is not where I'm planting you. This is not where your fruit is going to bear. You've got to go. And so you're making preparations. You're telling people, hey, I'm leaving, this kind of thing, whatever, what have you. And then your pastor, or let's just say a pastor, because in this respect, the prophet did not know the man of God. A pastor, somebody that has some kind of title or something, comes to you and says, no, I heard that you're supposed to stay. I heard that you were supposed to stay and become like some kind of deacon or something like that. But you know, you heard clearly, without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord told you to go. And you've been seeing already the signs. You've been seeing the traction and the doors being open for you to go. But then a pastor, in this case, a prophet, says, nah, I was told you have to stay. And you listen to this person and stayed. Oh my, who is getting help tonight, Holy Spirit? So in this passage, what I have been feeling for me, and maybe something different that he's revealing to you, or he will reveal to you once you get into this, the study in 1 Kings chapter 13, is that whatever the Lord is saying to you, you have to trust it, period. It don't matter who comes to you and tries to negate that And then the thing is, like, this is where the revelation is for me, is that there will be people that will try to deceive you and try to undermine what the Lord has told you to do. There will be people that will do that. Will you still follow what he has said to you? Will we still trust what he has told us? Or will we allow doubt to creep in? Or will we concede to whatever someone else that may be, let's say, a Christian for longer than us, maybe older than us, maybe holds a higher position or a title, or has a title, has some credentials behind their name? Will we allow that person to just be like, oh, maybe I didn't hear right? Or we'll be like, oh, that's what happened? Okay, that's where I'm at, y'all. It's like I'm checking myself pretty much and saying, there's no one else that will be told what the Lord wants me to do the way that he told me. It's like, it's very, very plain in my respects. It's like, I cannot doubt what he has made very plain to me because of someone else that may be coming to deceive me, that may be straight up lying to me. For it doesn't really reveal why the prophet decided to lie to him. And he had to have him come to his house and drink water and eat bread. I mean, I just think about it like, is that a test maybe from the Lord? I don't know. I don't know. We don't know. It doesn't say in the word, but you know, everything is done underneath the Lord's plan. So if you're thinking about it in that respect, like, who is in your life lying to you? And are you recognizing that potentially the thing that you have been told to do, you have allowed someone else to stop that thing from happening because you are listening to this person, this prophet in this, in these respects, or this pastor, or this spouse, or this parent, or this sibling, or this best friend, or whatever, what have you. And I think about it not in terms of literally being mauled by a lion. Are you mauled by a lion right now? A corpse on the side of the road, but like, has your corpse spiritually been mauled where you just laying down on the side of the road, you are immovable and not moving at all? And everybody just like, what happened to this man of God? What happened? So that's something that I want us all to chew on is, are you being lied to? It may come in a package that seems like, oh, this sounds pretty good. Or, this person seems pretty credible. But if that is completely contrary to what the Lord told you, nope. I'm calling it out right now, calling out like I see it. That is a liar. They are there deceiving us. And we have to be spiritually minded. We have to be in a position where our heart posture is for what the Lord has called us to. Because nobody will know what the Lord has told you. If someone comes and contradicts that completely, I don't know about that person. That's all I'm saying. So we've got to be in this position, y'all, where we are like completely submitted to the Lord and not doubting what he is telling us to do. And so I hope that if you were listening in earlier on our part one, that this gives you a little bit more clarity on what we were referring to as we were setting it up with the Rehoboam and the Jeroboam, and understanding what was taking place in pretense of that time within the kingdoms. And now you've got this man of God that come to tell Jeroboam, like, you ain't right. And Jeroboam is like, what you talking about? He power tripping. And now this man of God is in a position not that much longer where he, again, has to say, this is what the word of the Lord told me to do. And he was lied to and he fell for it. Again, we don't know why the prophet lied. And it's very strange because even as you read on, and I would encourage you to read the rest of the chapter, because like it seemed as if the prophet was sad about it. I don't understand that. Like, dude, you just lied to this man and he got mauled by a lion because you just want him to come back to your house and eat bread and drink water with you. I don't understand. But again, this is where, you know, Holy Spirit does the work when you're reading it. But I really encourage you to finish the chapter yourself and see how this may be applying in your life. But this is where I really want us to chew on, who is lying to you? Who is it? Because in the word, it gives us examples of the things that we could be facing today. And also want us to go back and think about, what is it that the Lord has told us? What is it that he messaged to us clearly and plainly? And are we following through with that? Very simply, we are, we aren't. And as we can see in this passage of scripture, if we not, we about to be out here on the side of the road mauled by a lion. What? And like I said, may not be literal. It could be spiritual, but that ain't no joke. I ain't trying to be mauled by no lion. I don't know about y'all. And I don't want y'all to be mauled by a lion either. So thank you all for tuning in to part two of this special Midnight Prayer Watch Soul Searching Edition. Again, I'm coming back at you from South Korea in a place, in a position where I'm just having these like really intimate times with the Lord, and he's sharing with me things, and I'm just humbled to be able to share them with you. And I hope, well, I know that as the Lord is leading me, that someone is getting encouraged or someone is being edified by the things that he's allowing us to bring forth here at Midnight Prayer Watch. So I'm going to pray us out and just ask that you would really take to heart this passage of scripture in 1 Kings chapter 13 and even do some examining of who may be in your ear or who even just yesterday may have said something that didn't quite align to what you have been told by the Lord is to happen in your life. So let me go ahead and pray us out and wish you all a safe new day if you're in a different time zone, or a safe rest of the day. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for this time where we know that your spirit is alive and well. We pray right now for a concealing and a sealing in the spirit right now, all of your sons and daughters, Lord, that you predestined to receive edifying in the word today. We pray that you seal them with the precious blood of Yahushua HaMashiach, and that you conceal them so the enemy will not be able to intercept the message and the truth that you have waiting for them to receive. We ask for open hearts this season. We ask for open minds, Lord, so that thoughts can prevail that are lovely, delightful, and of good rapport. And we ask, Lord, that your ways that are higher than our ways and your thoughts that are not our thoughts would go forth, Lord. Help us to concede our spirit to you, commit our spirit to you, Father God, and be completely surrendered and in a posture where our heart is open to you doing the work, getting out of our own way. As one of our brothers said earlier, Steve, that was able to join us, that we are in your way, Lord, so that the things that we are striving for our agenda to come forth We're just struggling in, Father, but we ask, Lord, that your way that is above our way would prevail. Have your way in us, through us, and around us today. And we pray these things in the precious name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
Prayer watchers, we have come to the most important part of this episode. If you are listening and are not 100% sure if you will spend eternity with God and feel Holy Spirit tugging your heart to make sure of that answer today, then we encourage you to pray this prayer with us. We want you to be 100% sure of your salvation. So the prayer goes like this. God, I come to you asking for forgiveness. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that you sent your Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins. And he was raised from the grave and is alive right now and is coming again. I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior. Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Oh, if you just prayed that prayer, we are rejoicing with the angels in heaven and are so excited that your name is now written into the Lamb's Book of Life.
All right, everyone, thank you again for tuning in for another Midnight Prayer Watch Soul Searching Edition. And I hope that you will continue to stay up as we say, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. Stay alert because the enemy is lurking. The enemy is hating on all of us and trying to have his agenda, trying to stifle your growth, trying to stifle you from moving in all things that the Lord has for you. And always stay washed in the word, y'all. We definitely unpacked a lot of scripture today. So I really encourage you again to get into the word for yourself. Try me. We always talk about this. Test every spirit. Try me of the things that we have discussed, of the information that I've shared, because I know that there is something in the word for you to go find it for yourself that may not have been revealed to me because it's just for you. And so test every spirit. Don't just rely on not just me, but anybody that is telling you about what the word has for you or what the Lord has said to them about you, which is what we discussed today. It's like, no, you got to know for yourself, because come judgment day, you're not going to have a lawyer. You're not going to have your mama. You're not going to have a proxy, power of attorney. Nah, those things don't exist. Judgment day is you and him. And so you got to know it for yourself. And you are going to be held accountable to it by yourself. So stay washing the word, everyone. We will come back at you again for our continued soul searching edition. And I just ask that you keep me in prayer as I am searching for my birth mother.